am special guest
Danny Kerwin.
This is the Power Motion Picnic Hour.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Power Motion Picnic Hour. As always, I'm your host, Dave, and as always, alongside me is...
Trevor.
Trevor, what's happening? How are you?
I am excellent on this lovely evening. How about you, Dave?
I'm doing great. Glad to be here on pod. As always with you, and as less frequently these days, no special guest.
No special guest. Yeah, which means we have a whole, 40 minute or more if we decide to exceed our typical restraint, time block to just do whatever we want.
Yeah, this is our canvas. It's a traditional old school pod where we just talk about whatever we want. We start talking about running. By the end, who knows? We could be talking about music or Middle Ages history. A big fan of Pippin the Elder myself.
Yep.
That's one of my favorite, the early Gallic kings.
Yeah. Well, you read that Power of Thrones, right?
Yeah, the Dan Jones book.
Maybe.
Yeah, I read
Power and Kings, or what was it?
I read some 1,000 page history of the Middle Ages that Dan Jones wrote. It was pretty great.
Nice.
But it's so fast. It's like 1,000 years of history in like 1,000 pages. So it's it's hard to take it all in.
I learned about probably some overlapping with that time period by watching the show Vikings and then listening to a two-part 9-hour podcast, history podcast about sort of that same time period. And the interesting thing about the Vikings is they didn't have a lot of like written history. So a lot of it were these crazy, like oral, like, sort of like legends, like half mythical, half true. And so like some of the historical, like, details are just quite muddied.
So do we know, did they run?
We think they ran.
We think the Vikings ran.
Yeah. As far as we can tell, they like to sail.
Okay. Yeah.
Which is not decidedly not running, but when they would land, they would run, while doing, they're masquerading or conquesting or what was it called? Pillaging.
They'd
go out pillaging.
What I remember about the Vikings from that book is they were particularly vicious. They were one of the worst in that regard. I think it'd be a toss up between them and the Mongols. And but the other thing I remember is that I think they ended up just like assimilating into Europe and becoming Christians, like mixing with the local tribes and then just like ceasing to exist, basically.
Yeah, both show and podcast had some aspects of that sort of assimilation.
Okay, so some running involved for sure.
Some running, definitely some running during pillaging. And the interesting thing that I learned from this podcast is hypothesized that the Vikings' real edge was that like their religion was about like doing glorious things in battle. You go do these like amazing things and then you go hang with the gods in the in the halls, the great halls,
Doesn't necessarily jive with our contemporary morals and values, but I guess that as was the style at the time.
Every day you strap on the running shoes, you go to battle, you run against your opponent for a bit, and then you hang out in the hall afterwards and like drink mead or whatever.
When we finish a New York Roadrunners race, they usually give us an apple and a bag of pretzels. But if it's a longer race, they hand out like an apple and like a bagel.
That's a good one.
Yeah, but the race isn't usually long enough that I feel like I need a bagel. like a 10K, I don't need to like immediately just down a bagel, dry bagel.
Gotta replenish those carbs.
The apple's great.
Yeah, apples are a great one. Well, yeah, I was gonna ask if we wanted to just sort of do some weekend meandering or podcast, segment about meandering around whatever topic, or if we should jump right into some. I don't know if you brought any ideas or topics to talk about.
I thought it would be nice if we opened the podcast by talking about the Vikings. So now that we got that out of the way, I didn't have any other ideas. I thought we'd talk gear a little bit.
Oh yeah, we did promise to hop on over to the gear shed. So yeah, why don't we definitely start there? I mean, we know that there's no special guest and there's no song of the week.
No, but there is, we haven't talked about gear this season. This is episode 4 already. And, in the off season, we had our first ever off season because our first 4 seasons just went back to back at breakneck pace, like we were the Vikings just running off the ship. But then we took some time off, and in that time off, I certainly sampled a lot of gear. One thing I did was I got my first running hat.
Oh, very nice. What that's a big choice because there's a lot of options in that category.
Yeah, and I went fully in to look like a 100% running goofball in one of those hats that you see a goofy runner looking wearing. You probably have one. I mean, most of us have one. I
Yeah.
now have one, but I think what's the brand? Sealy, is that what they're called?
I don't know how to pronounce it, but yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, Ciele. I imagine it's Italian or something else.
I've noticed it looks like they have a lot of good like color combination choices.
Mine's real bright.
Yeah.
I picked it up when I had to do a 4 mile race in the rain, and yeah, it was fine.
I enjoy that style of lightweight hat, foldable. You can like pocket it
Yeah.
even. The brim's like, whatever. It's like a flimsy little brim in front, but
Yeah.
I enjoy running in that. You can dunk it when you're on the trail. You can dunk it in the stream, and then like splash it over your head, which is really nice.
Oh, that's a nice idea. Yeah, we don't that didn't come up in Central Park.
On your 10K in Central
And it
Park.
wasn't a 10K. I think it was 4 miles, that one. And
Okay.
it was raining and we had water tables.
Yeah,
So we were
it
wet.
neither necessitated nor provided a stream to dunk the hat into
No.
on the course.
And then I picked up a little running rain jacket, a rain slicker.
Another great piece of running apparel. What'd you go with?
It's like a Patagonia thing.
Nice. Nice.
Might be the first Patagonia thing I've ever owned, which is wild for someone who spent 4 years in Vermont.
Yeah, it's not really, it hasn't been your style. You've never been like a Patagonia guy, but
No, it's very off brand for me.
they do make high quality, gear that's good for things like running in the rain.
It seemed really practical.
Yeah.
And so I went with it. And it was also what they had. They had like two things in the store. So,
It's a good choice. I have quite a bit of Patagonia, and it's like I don't remember any Patagonia that's like fallen apart from use, and I have stuff that's like really old.
yeah.
We try to like buy the nice gear and then just like hold on to it. Stuff that like base layers and things like that.
Oh, sure. I try to hold on to everything as long as I possibly can. There's some sort of psychological condition, but I found myself in the running shoe store yesterday with a big giant shopping bag full of like 8 pairs of running shoes that I was donating because I'd been holding onto those for too long.
Yeah. But you did. I forget if we had popped into the gear shed to talk about some of your more recent. We did. You talked about your trail shoe purchase.
Think so. I bought them all at the same time, the hat. The slicker and then
Ooh, I didn't know. Wow.
the trail shoes. I had a race coming up that was gonna be cold and rainy, and I was like, okay, I want to be ready. I finally want to be ready for this, you know?
You came out in the Pegasus Trails, the Patagonia
Yep.
rain jacket, and the Seal Lee
Yeah. Chieli. Chieli. I'm doing the hand gesture for the listeners at home since we haven't started releasing the videos of these yet, but
just a bunch of fortissimos that don't know how to pronounce things.
Kelly, I think that's probably what it is.
Yeah, I was about to talk about the halls of Aesir earlier, but then I realized I didn't know how to pronounce that word, Aesir.
Yeah, no, there's lots we can't pronounce here on the Power Motion Picnic Hour, but that's lots more for our listeners to write in and give us corrections, and we'll certainly read that next week.
I imagine it's one of the joys of being a knowledgeable listener, more knowledgeable than us about many topics.
Yeah,
And
we're showing off a bit this week how unknowledgeable we are. Being
just
rather boastful.
serving it up for the fact checkers.
Yeah.
Well, I'm trying to think. So in terms of my gear shed, the thing about not like running as much as I used to as regularly is I've just been running in the same basically four pairs, which is still a lot of
That's a lot of shoes.
shoes. Let me think about that if they're all still active. I have Hoka Challenger 7s and the Asics Trabuco Max 3s that we pulled out of the gear shed
Yeah.
sort of towards the end of season four. And then for the road, I've got the Mach 6s, and those are probably the three that I'd run in like
All right.
now. But I'm still hanging on to an old pair of Mach 5s that probably should have been in your bag, should have been
Yeah.
in there. And then two pairs, the old Challenger 6s and some Salomon Ultra Glide 2s that are now gardening shoes.
That's an important, yeah, step in the life of a running shoe when it becomes something else. I wish I had your other shoes when I walked into the Fleet Feet on 14th Street. It was great too, because I walked in and the gentleman working there holding the iPad with the stylus pen remembered me instantly. He said, "Hey," I went, "Hey, what's up?" And he goes, "Hey, how are you? How are the shoes working out?" And I was like, "Which ones?" Because I buy so many running shoes that I couldn't remember, because I know it wasn't my last pair that was there, because I remember buying my most recent pair of New Balance.
You don't want to talk about the wrong shoes.
What are they called? The New Balance ones, the Baylos.
I
Is
don't
that what they're
know.
called? Well, these super cushy New Balances, but I bought them at the Fleet Feet in Columbus Circle. The shoe salesman there was so knowledgeable. I almost wanted to invite him on as special guest, and maybe I sh still should.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked a lot about running stores, and you generally like to visit a running store
I
wherever
love
you.
it. I visit them when I travel, and I like the local ones as well. This guy was great. I was asking him for advice, and he opened with something like, "Well, I wouldn't recommend wearing any of these shoes." Which I loved, but it turned out he was a strong proponent of running barefoot
Awesome.
or in
Well,
like zero sandals or whatever.
we need to give voice to the running shoe store folks. That's kind of, I think that's what this podcast is all about. I mean, we're not going to give you knowledgeable running advice.
We're not.
We're going to mispronounce things. We'll have some great special guests, we can promise. Not this episode, but
But
in general, the special guests sort of carry the weight around here.
this is the kind of episode we'll discuss what kind of special guest and maybe who specifically we should have on.
That's right. Oh, we do need to decide. We did promise that we would have a target special guest for season five, and that season five would not end until we landed that special guest.
That's right. And this is episode four, and we said at the end of episode five, we'll announce who that target special guest is. So the mailbag's been filling up with ideas and suggestions, some ridiculous, some slightly less ridiculous, but you have one more episode to write in and influence our decision.
All submissions are appreciated. We'll definitely talk about why we didn't select some, so you still have a chance of being mentioned.
Yeah.
I can't wait. But I mean, I know we decided to talk about it a little bit off pod. We bounced some ideas around. I know we eliminated at least one option, but I don't think we landed on any. I
No.
don't think we actually, I think we eliminated one option and did not identify any other options.
Yeah, I don't think we know yet. We did have one really exciting idea that we decided was also a bad idea.
Perhaps outlandish.
And just because we eliminate somebody from the contention for this category doesn't mean we still can't have them on sometime. It just means they're not the goal special guest for season five of the Power Motion Picnic Hour.
Of course, they could even still come on season five. That's fine, but they're just not going to end the season because they're no longer the target special guest.
Not the target special guest, and yeah, so they won't be part of the Exactly. Of the very special promotion brought to you by the good folks at TLE Hats.
Available at the Fleet Foot on, Columbus Soccer Circle.
What a Fleet Feet it is. That's a great one.
I was thinking about the Marathon Sports in Wellesley the other day. We were talking about the Scream Tunnel.
And
I remember going in and trying on a few pairs of Hokas at one point.
How was that?
It was wonderful. Yeah, they let me run them along the sidewalk a little bit.
Nice.
Actually, that was a good gear shed. I tried on like three or four different pairs. I think I tried on a pair of Brooks Catamounts even.
Oh.
Like a Brooks trail offering that were a little stiff for my liking. A pair of Hoka Zinals that, cue the pronunciation, folks, that like felt good, but were a little bit like not, I didn't, they didn't have enough, like, I liked the big stack and they were like pretty thin. So they felt good, but I just wasn't ready for them. And then I think I just ended up with another pair of Challengers.
If it's working,
my second or third sixes, and now I also have a pair of sevens that I also like. But I think I have a special place in my heart for the sixes, because they were like the first kind of trail and Hoka shoe that I had that I was like, wow, this like changed my running, in like a lot of ways. It like let me like run on stuff like more comfortably than I would have been able to before.
Don't you love thinking back to like a running shoe that like was special to you for some reason? I often think that way about the Saucony Mirage 2 that I picked up in 2010 at some running store in Long Island. And then, and then I went in and I just got another pair of Saucony Mirage 2s. And then I think I got the next. I don't even remember what the deal with those were. This is a new segment, I guess. This is like when you watch ESPN Classic, but it's just classic pairs of running shoes.
But
I went in one day and asked for the new whatever Saucony Mirage was out, and they're like, oh, they stopped making those. And so they gave me this other shoe, this new Saucony, but the guy at the store was super hyped on it. I don't remember what it was called, but it was gray, which I didn't like, because the other ones had been like bright red or bright blue, and these were just gray, but they were a little reflective, so I was like, all right. But they had like no, I think we've talked about this, they had no back. Or very, they had a back, but it was just very it was very soft. And that was like the style for like 1 year.
Yeah. Yeah.
I probably bring this up every five episodes. those were great too.
First time we've heard the Mirage 2s mentioned by name.
The Mirage 2s were so good.
Yeah.
Classic Saucony.
Yeah. The only Sauconys I have right now, I really liked the Saucony. What were they? They were these trail Sauconys. I don't know. I mentioned them on a prior gear shed and I just couldn't get the sizing right. Endorphin Rift or something. It was like, I feel like it was the trail Endorphin.
Well, the Endorphin's the greatest running shoe ever made as far as I'm concerned. So, so that's probably the greatest trail running shoe ever.
I feel like the Endorphin line is pretty hard hitting. I have a pair of Saucony, like old school, like Sauconys right now.
Like Shadow, fashion Sauconys.
Shadow sixes or something.
Those are the ones you wear
Yeah, like the fashion, like classic, Saucony classic or whatever.
To look like something John McVie would wear during the Fleetwood Mac recording of Tusk.
Exactly. Oh my God, don't get me started. sometimes in between episodes, and while listening to like music podcasts and stuff, I think about how like the Power Motion Picnic Hour eventually just devolves to like Tusk, like running song of the week.
And we have
20 weeks talking about each song on Tusk and why it runs.
But yeah, it's not a Fleetwood Mac running podcast. It's a Tusk running podcast. Which one should we do this week? Should we do, what's the, I'm a big fan of the Lindsey Buckingham songs from that album.
Yeah. 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 We could do an impromptu song of the week. We did that once before. That's when we talked about the Meat Puppets to close out season four.
That's true. I'm trying to remember the name of the Lindsey song I'm thinking of. So I'm actually going to look it up right now. I know we all like to do that.
No, I'm not wrong. Do you know that one?
No, but the one I was thinking of, what makes me think you're the one.
Oh yeah, where he's like banging on the it, it's yeah, it's
No,
some
I think
serious.
you're thinking of The Ledge, I think.
No, I know all these songs.
You
I
know
know
them
all these
all.
songs quite well. Yeah.
Okay, never mind. You
I
know them
know.
better than me. Yeah.
You think you're the one?
That's the ticket. Yeah. He sings
Yeah.
the hell out of that one.
Oh, yeah.
What makes you think you're the one who can laugh without crying? What makes you think you're the one who can live without dying? Every little bit is there to see.
He had like all kinds of ideas around that time that he like wanted Fleetwood Mac to be more like sort of new wave and like
Yeah.
sort of like the post-punk like stuff that was starting to come out. And so they were, you know, taking a lot of cocaine with a massive budget and like, you know, and he was like trying to record on like concrete floors and like crazy
Yeah.
shit.
He doesn't sound, his songs don't sound like Fleetwood Mac songs on that album.
No. And eventually, I mean, we know there was tension throughout, but I feel like he did push, you know, push the band quite a bit. He like, you know, and
It's
his
great.
guitar playing was just impeccable. Like it was just,
Yeah.
you know, so tight.
He rules, I'd like to say. It was also not one thing that a Fleetwood Mac song is supposed to sound like, because they
Right.
sounded so different over the years.
And the triple harmonies, the fact that he can fold right in. Like sometimes I can't pick out whether it's Lindsey or Christine McVie singing like a certain harmony, like
Beautiful.
just one of the gals.
Do we think any of them run?
Oh, I think they all run.
Everyone runs?
I know they all run.
Who do you think's the fastest member of Fleetwood Mac? Any every
Oh,
member every
so
member. Oh,
we're not
I meant,
talking about songs on Tusk. Now
no,
we're
the
talking
songs do,
about
they definitely run to listen to, I agree.
Yeah.
Do we think the members run?
I could see Lindsey. I'd say Lindsey would probably be the runner, in my mind. I don't know that. I don't know the answer to that. Shame on me.
Who the fastest, or if he runs?
If any of them run.
Every member ever. I'm going to say Jeremy Spencer is the fastest member ever. Or Danny Kerwin.
Nice.
Somebody early 70s
yeah.
who wasn't in the band when anybody that is alive now listened to them.
Yeah. I like that you didn't go right for the, you didn't even go for the green reference. Just the lesser, or not lesser, but lesser known. That's the phrase.
Yeah. Yeah. Peter Green. Does he run? Who knows? Who cares?
Who knows? Died before we could tell.
I was watching a live video of, you know, that band Haim. They're like three sisters.
Yeah, yeah.
Of them covering "Oh Well" by.
Oh, nice! Yeah, another
from,
good Lindsey song, right?
Yeah, no, that's
Oh, you're right. It's from like the. Yeah,
yeah,
it's from the.
It's like it's late Peter Green. It's like the last Peter Green album.
And then they would go on to do it in like, yeah, like late 70s, 80s shows. I feel like, have you heard any of those live recordings with?
I have not. I just know the Haim recordings, but
yeah, Lindsey sings the hell out of that one too.
It's a great live song because mostly because the drums are what make that song.
Are we gonna start slicing Tusk songs into this episode?
I'm putting in "Oh Well" and "What Makes You Think You're the One" for sure.
Yeah, you've got the track list up. It's either "You Know I'm Not Wrong." I think it's "You Know I'm Not Wrong" or something like that.
"I Know I'm Not Wrong."
And "I Know I'm Not Wrong." I did say it right the first time. So that one, yeah, that's a good one.
It's a long album. I don't usually make it that far in. I usually make it about halfway and leave the room.
So another good Lindsey song. And at the end, I feel like Christine McVie's keys really just shine. And there's some early like demo versions of it where Lindsay's like singing what would eventually become the like the organ part or whatever, the keys part, and she just nails it so beautifully.
Let's roll.
We're putting three Fleetwood Mac songs into this episode. No, don't. No one, please name another one.
Up there, I do because I do have some other segments, I believe.
Well, let's do it because we're going to run out of time if we don't.
All right, let's see. Well, I've got a big. I guess I'll just go right to the big Week in Running update, which was an update on the young apprentice in his early track career. We went up to Gordon College in Wenham, Mass. Yesterday.
Cool.
And it was, and like, didn't really know what we were getting into, but it was a USATF, like New Youth, New England, like, something or other meet.
U.S. alcohol, tobacco, and firearms.
Yeah, exactly. USA Track and Field,
Oh, yeah.
quite a serious organization, if you've ever encountered them.
Oh,
I feel like,
no.
they do all the high school stuff and whatever. I feel like they do, like, they're like the governing body, right?
Okay, yeah.
I remember, like, several years ago we rolled into, this was like when Young Apprentice was like in a backpack, like, baby, and they almost didn't let
Baby
us
apprentice.
walk the neighborhood 5K because it was like an official USATF event. They're like, you can't have you can't like carry like apparatus like
Like, what did you
that.
call my son?
And I was like, so yeah, that's like a flavor. But anyway, it was a big, I'll save any like opinion about USATF for a later episode, perhaps. The event itself was massive. There were like hundreds of kids, ages like 8 through high school, all like club. Like a bunch of these clubs from all over the place, Providence, Rochester, like just all over, sort of the Northeast. And they did like every event. They had a whole field section. They did
Nice.
steeplechase. They did
Every
steeplechase.
event. By every event, you mean even pole vault?
I mean, pole vault, they were throwing javelin.
Wow. Javelin's good. They have hammer throw?
I don't know about hammer throw.
We didn't
We
have
didn't go.
we didn't have hammer, javelin, or pole vault in high school.
They were doing field before we got there, because we
Okay.
showed up for the running. Young apprentice again in the wheelchair division, ages eight, nine to ten, 9 to 10. So,
Getting fast at that age.
yeah. So, and the funny thing was, or like the interesting thing, I guess, was, they just line up all the racers together, right? So
Yeah.
he was racing in the sixth heat of the 100 boys, 9 to 10, like just lined up against, and he was the only, for the record, he was the only out of these hundreds of racers, the only wheelchair, like
Oh, wow.
para athlete. So he lines up to the 100 and needed 34 seconds to qualify for like the national level. And
Huh?
he clocked in at a 33.38.
Whoa. Wait, what
Yeah.
distance was it?
100.
Wow.
Yeah, 33.38. So like
Congratulations. That's amazing.
that was awesome. But then he ran the 800,
Oh, geez.
which is cool because like in a lot of the like the wheelchair races, you're supposed to stay in the lane for like anything up to 400, but the 800 becomes free for all. So like
Oh,
you
wow.
only usually have to do the first turn in the lane, and then you can just like go to the inside, which actually like makes it a lot easier because a big part of it is like the turns and stuff and trying to just push as much as you can without messing with the steering. So anyway, he's doing the 800, and with like they do a lot of that at the high school level too, where they'll just like mix because that's like, okay, this is the event, like, and
Yeah.
everybody's just gonna run it. Would you guess like which distance? Have we already talked about this? Like which distance becomes like the equalizer between the two, where it's like almost like a fair race between like the
Between,
top wheelchair milers and top able-bodied milers?
I don't think we did talk about which. Is it the 800?
No, no.
I don't know. What is it?
Well, you know that like wheelchair racers like crush the marathon, right?
Yeah,
They're
they do it in
like,
like Marcel does it in like an hour 10 or something, right?
like basically
Yeah.
like half, like yeah.
Half the time, yeah.
It's 1 mile. 1 mile is like
Oh.
most like competitive. You get up to 2 mile and the wheelchair racers will be
They take off.
faster, but under because it takes, it's obvious, right? Long, like harder and longer to accelerate, but at top speed, like more efficient
Yeah.
and higher top speed and all that. But anyway, I don't know. That's a tangent.
Pretty good tangent, though.
Yeah, a little in depth. Because wheelchair racing is super cool. It's like a whole thing. But anyway, so he does the 800. Good news, did not get lapped, which was like our initial fear,
Oh,
because like
yeah.
these are like the top, like but honestly, I think that's us. Like he doesn't really care about that. He's just like out there racing his race, which is
Yeah.
awesome.
It's how you're supposed to do it. Yeah, it's a good reminder for the parents.
Yeah, but like went out there, just like pushed hard the whole time, crushed it. Does his first lap. Like the other kids sort of finish like sort of slowly, and then he's the last one finishing his 800, and he comes around the final turn, and like the whole stands just like start going nuts. And like everybody's cheering him on, like hundreds, and like again, it's this massive event,
Yeah.
like probably bigger than any sporting event I've ever, like a bigger crowd than I've ever played any sport in front of. Like,
It's the biggest crowd they've ever seen in Wenham.
it's like a massive crowd,
Yeah.
and people start cheering, and like, it was just like really touching. Like, I like cried a little bit,
Oh,
like,
that's
because
beautiful.
it was like very genuine. Like, people were like cheering for like, the sport, right? It was like, they were like cheering the performance, it
Yeah.
wasn't like it wasn't like, oh, like look at that kid. It was like you could feel it was genuine. And then like afterwards, I don't know, like this one coach of one of the elite teams came up and was like, are you the guy that like did the 800? And Ben's like, yeah. He's like, oh man, like that was so cool. So like, yeah, it was just like a really awesome,
Well, that's awesome.
moment in, running and parenting.
Crossover. It's nice when it happens.
Intersection. Yeah.
Wait, so you said he, so he need, wait, sorry, to go back to the 100, although we didn't get what the time was in the 8, but he needed 34 seconds to qualify, right? And he got 33.
For the nationals. So
So you're going to the Nationals.
we might go to Grand Rapids in July to do the nationals,
Nice. Oh, that's
which I
awesome.
think would just be tons of fun and awesome and like a cool experience.
Yeah.
It's like kind of like if you qualify for the Boston Marathon, doesn't necessarily mean you're going to win it. Like, if you're like just at the qualifying
Yeah,
track.
exactly.
So it's more about the experience. Like he's a very, to be clear, he's a very new to the sport.
Yeah.
He's been working hard and practicing. He's been doing it for a couple of years, but he's just kind of getting into it now and just kind of like hitting his stride. But he's got like, I don't know, if listeners are interested, we can go on the journey. But like even the like he doesn't use like the proper like hand like gloves. He's got great form, but he doesn't have the right like the wheelchair racers are basically punching it. They're not grabbing the rim. They're like
Yeah.
punching almost with this like 3D printed to like fit their hand exactly, like with these like grippy like insides, and they'll like roll it around the back too, so you get like the full motion, almost like riding a fixed gear where you can like accelerate on like the up pedal,
Yeah.
anyway, yeah.
Well, I think you guys should go. As someone who's never qualified for the Nationals in anything, I think
I know.
who knows how often that opportunity comes up, so.
It was funny, like the director of the program, the Adaptive Sports New England, like amazing organization. This guy's actually like, possible future guest, really, really cool guy, does like a ton for you know, all sports, all adaptive sports. But anyway, yeah, he at one point, like we were all like getting Ben ready, and it was like pre-race, and then like they were starting the heats, and then you know, Joe sort of looks over at me and goes, okay, like, you know, now, and like in the nicest way possible, he's like, now's a good time for you to, you know, just kind of like hang over here and like, you know, like, you know, don't go up to the starting line with them. Like, let them go from here. Just like basically like step to the side, you know?
Yeah.
And that was good coaching. I definitely needed that.
You got coached a little bit too. That's great.
Got coached. Yeah.
A good coach knows who needs the coaching, you know?
Yeah.
And you proved to be very coachable. So that's also good.
But anyway, so Joe's like, you know, again, they're super supportive, whatever we want to do, you know, they'll support it. But, he knew like it was a goal of Ben's to like try to qualify, and it's awesome that he did that. Like, you know, 'cause now that's like, okay, that's something we can think about. But Joe was like, yeah, he's like, you know, that's great. Like, if you guys want to go, like, we'll definitely like, you know, figure out how to do it. He's like, it's a pretty long way to go to run 100 meters though, too. So
that's, yeah, that's right. He's not going to do it to do the, you know, 2 mile or whatever. He's going to,
like multiple events, you know, like, cause okay. So for the 800, I think qualifying time was like 3:50, and he's like 5 minute plus, like he hasn't.
So he's
he
not hasn't there.
Gotten, no,
he's not there for two events. Yeah.
He hasn't gotten the different components that you need to like run an 800 fast. Like he just hasn't gotten those down yet. He hasn't really been practicing them long enough.
Well, listen, as somebody who just isn't responsible for any of the logistics or planning, I think he should go to the Nationals.
Our motion picnic hour live from Grand Rapids.
We haven't had an affiliated member of the team here go to any kind of really large event. I mean, I guess I went to the New York Marathon, but
Yeah,
I didn't like qualify based on time. So
you qualified. You definitely qualified based on running 9 races plus volunteering one, and
yeah,
giving a medal to dear listener Ethan, and giving it to so each of his daughters would have one.
That's
and,
true. That's true. That's right. I qualified purely on level of enjoyment and liberal interpretation of the rules.
Well,
but it'd be exciting to have somebody who qualified on time alone.
Yeah.
This has been a pretty exciting, meandering episode. And we actually got to an exciting topic there at the end. So I'm glad to hear about it.
It's been action packed. Yeah. Well, thanks for, thanks for listening.
Yeah. Thanks everybody for tuning in for this. It was kind of an old school podcast where we, you know, what we call a traditional one where we don't have a guest, but I don't really remember what we used to do on those anymore. Since we've had so many with guests, I was thinking about as we were logging on, I'm like, what the hell did we used to talk about even? Because now it's always, you know, here's so-and-so from wherever who just ran 400 miles or runs this very magical program or, you know, or whatever, likes to run in the woods. But this is also enjoyable as well. I hope everyone liked it. Please tune in next week. We're going to find out who the season 5 goal special guest is, brought to you by Chieli Hats. And until next time.
Onward.
Special guest,
Jeremy Spencer.
This is the power.